Brad Lacey with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I will be joined by a very dear lady, Pastor Jeannie Dennis of the Rock of Jesus Christ Ministries. Pastor Jeannie is a very dear, dear lady doing a splendid work in the city of Philadelphia. She will be joining me on the other side of our devotional. But first, please, we draw upon the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Colossian believers, as we find in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, simply the first four verses. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you shall also appear with him in glory. This is one of the great, to my mind, rallying cries of Scripture, a rallying cry to the mode of perception, let alone the way and manner with which we live our lives. It's very important to understand that what we fix our eyes and ears upon, for instance, if all we're doing is watching television, our minds will be shaped by what we see on television. I remember as a young lad, I often joke that my emotional existence up to this very day, at nearly 62 years of age, was fashioned and shaped by the NBC soap operas, The Doctors and Another World from the 1970s. I mean, there's a melodramatic approach, if you will, to life as one watches these daytime dramas of an earlier era. They're so much different today, far more, I think, destructive. The point simply is what we cast our eyes and ears upon shapes how we think and how we perceive the world. And according to the word of God, if we are looking to Christ, Paul uses the word if you have been raised with Christ. That is, if you have come into a saving knowledge of Christ himself, and you have set your life upon the path of following him. If you are intent upon doing this, then you must seek the things that are above. Remember, please, the exact language, if you have been raised with Christ. We often think, even those of us within the evangelical or Catholic worlds, that that Christ is our Savior and our Lord. We remember back to what he did at the cross, and we should never forget what he did at the cross. Even as I speak this word, I'm looking at a beautiful print of a late medieval, early Renaissance painting that hangs on my wall of Christ hanging from the cross. It's a stunning piece, and it prompts me to consider what Christ did. He died for me, but we must never forget the fact that he also was resurrected from the dead. And we know from the scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us from the first letter to the Corinthians, that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then you and I who endeavor to follow him, we are the chief and the worst of fools. There's no purpose in following Christ if he's dead. But if he is alive, our resurrection, our future existence, which is both spiritual and bodily, are inherent in the resurrection of Christ. And doesn't the word of God also say that for those of us who look to Christ, if we have been washed in his blood and filled with his spirit, that in one very real sense, we have been elevated, we have been lifted up into the heavenly places. We have an existence in the presence of God that defies the norm. What theologians will often call the now, yet, forgive me, the now, but the not yet. So we live in the presence of God. We live already in eternity, and yet we continue paradoxically to play out our lives in the here and now. But this is an interesting thought to you, friends. It speaks to your church. It speaks to your personal existence as a believer, if indeed you are one. If we all we do is think of the cross, and I don't mean to minimize one iota the profundity of import of that cross. We've already talked about how important that cross is to us in earlier devotionals from this very book of Colossians. But look at it this way as well. If all we do is look to the cross and to the death of Christ, then all that we do as Christians in our individual lives and in the collective life of the church, all we're doing is remembering a dead man. We're holding weekly memorial services to him if all that is true is that he's dead. Perhaps if you're a Catholic brother or sister and you attend daily Mass in the mornings, if all that happened is that Christ died, then your daily Mass, I say this with respect, is nothing more than a memorial service. It's as if we're entering a mausoleum or morgue. My weekly Sunday service here at First Baptist in Conshohocken, this weekly hour on board the Talk Radio 1210, it's no more than a glorified memorial service. Now, there's a place for that, isn't there? But it is not true of the gospel that this is the end of the story. Christ has risen from the dead, and God's people have been raised up with him. And therefore, we're not holding memorial services. We are holding services of worship in honor of the risen Lord, in honor of our Father who is in heaven. We are honoring the Holy Spirit who remains operative in our lives. We have life and we have hope and we have a future because Christ didn't simply die, but he also rose from the dead. And we know if we follow through with both the logic and the word of God itself, that Christ ascended into the heavenlies. And in the heavenlies, he's doing three things right now on our behalf. We know on the one hand that he's preparing a place for us. How do we know that? He told us so. We know also that he is praying for us. The language of Scripture within this context is that Christ is interceding on our behalf before the Father. That is, in essence, a glorified way, a multisyllabic way of saying that he's praying for us. Now, intercessory prayer is one mode of prayer, but the gist of what we're being told is that Christ in the heavenlies is praying for us. And we know also that if he's preparing a place and if he's praying for us, the Bible tells us, indeed, Jesus told us himself that he is coming back for us. And I will take you to be where I am. And Jesus adds, you know the place to which I am going. It is a place where we are elevated and raised up to be with Christ and the Father forever. Praise the Lord. If you have been raised with Christ, then the Bible tells us to seek those things that are above. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I don't believe that heaven is in a literal sense north, due north, but there is an elevated status to the presence of God. There is an elevation of our lives above and beyond the fray of what we normally experience. Yes, the disciples did see the resurrected Christ ascend into the heavenlies, but we also know, and I don't mean to be unduly complicated, we know by way of the laws of physics that at a certain point as you ascend, there's a curvature to space. So I don't want to make light of the ascension of Christ. All I'm meaning to say is that the point is that we are elevated beyond this corrupt world. We are elevated beyond the fallen fray of our existence. God, who is holy, has nothing to do with that which is sinful other than the endeavor from on high to redeem it. We know that God is transcendent, that is, he is over and above his creation. But we also know that he is imminent or at work within the created order as he endeavors, and I love how Jesus puts it, my Father is always at work, and I too am always working. They're always working on behalf of fallen men and women, bringing them to redemption, bringing them to Christ, bringing them to repentance of sin and to new life in Jesus Christ. If you have been raised with Christ, then seek what is above, where Christ is, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Christ has done his work and is doing his work still. When he said at the cross, "It is finished," that statement incorporates all that plays out through history and into eternity. Everything is playing out within the one framework. And it is finished, which means that we have a place already. In the very least, it means this, that we have a place already in the presence of God, courtesy and thanks to Christ himself. Praise the Lord. If you have been raised with him, then seek what is above, where Christ is to be found. Praise the Lord. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is my consummate privilege. I recently had the fine pleasure of meeting a dear lady on behalf of the Philadelphia Bible Society. Her name is Pastor Jeannie Dennis. We became dear friends in the immediate, and having offered her our material courtesy of the Philadelphia Bible Society, I felt led of God to invite her onto this broadcast. I think you will love her. Indeed, I know you will. So, Pastor Jeannie, welcome to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, man of God, Pastor Lacey, for inviting me.
You are entirely welcome. I thank you for coming on board. I should let the audience know that you are part and parcel, indeed integral, to the Rock of Jesus Christ Ministries. And Pastor Jeannie, do share with us where your ministry is located.
My ministry is located in West Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I'm right around between Callow Hill and Girard Avenue.
Okay.
And around 63rd Overbrook.
Okay. Thank you. You know what I love about my work with the Philadelphia Bible Society? I meet so many men and women, and I must say more women than men, throughout the entirety of Philadelphia. I mean, Southwest Philly, West Philly, Northeast Philly, South Philly, the Northwestern Quadrant, Center City. I have the privilege of meeting men and women, but primarily women, who are earnest in wanting to spread the word of God throughout their neighborhoods and the surrounding environs. And you are such an impeccable figure, and I know you give your heart and mind to this, and it's a precious thing. And I want to acknowledge all of your peers in this work, even as you and I share this broadcast together. But Pastor Jeannie, you're doing your work based in West Philly, but you come from another portion, not of the city, but from another portion of the world. I want you to tell our audience from whence you hail.
Yes, I'm from Monrovia, Liberia, West Africa. And it's a beautiful country, predominantly a Christian nation, but they also have Muslims and other group of people that resides in Liberia. But and we speak English.
You've come a long way.
Yes.
Yeah, you've been here in the States for how long?
I've been here for over 30 years. Me and my family, we came during the war. There was a wartime, you know, and I came here prior to the war, but then we were uprooted when the war started. We had a civil war.
Do you know, I've mentioned to you when we met the other day that there's a very lovely little African Pentecostal fellowship that utilizes our building on Sunday afternoons. The pastor is from Guinea. His wife is from Liberia. Now, they met at college, I think, in Sierra Leone, if I remember it correctly. But her father was a general with the government forces. And they were, I don't know the ins and outs of the war, but apparently they were forced to leave upon fear of death. And so Pastor Sa's wife is also a fellow Liberian. You will want to meet them at some point, I'm sure. But tell us your story, Pastor Jeannie. Tell us your story of faith. How did you come to faith? And again, what in perhaps a little more detail, what brought you here? We'll talk about your ministry in the next segment, but we want to hear about your faith story right now.
Yes. I came to the Lord many, many years ago, about 20-something years ago, and I was growing.
So that was here in the States?
Yes.
Am I right? That was here? Yes.
That was here in the States when I really had the encounter with the Lord. I was going through some marital issues with my family and everything, and it was a difficult time in my life. But I had a lot of friends that were praying, group of women. We used to pray together. We used to have all-night tarry. And I never realized that God was paving a way for me to get into ministry. And one of my friends always gave me, like, scriptures to read, you know, to meditate on. I had to read these scriptures. Like, I mean, my life was on the line, you know. I didn't want to give up. I wanted to move forward. And those scriptures in the Bible strengthened me so much. And I started to meditate and pray day and night, you know, going to work, driving, just praising the Lord in my car, at home, at night, going to services. And the Lord started to move mightily in my life, you know. And I, looking back, I can say, and I can bet my life on it, that if it wasn't for those scriptures, I would have been dead by now.
You know, Pastor Jeannie, if I may, this highlights a fundamental truth. Mm-hmm. It's why you and I put forth the Word of God, speak and preach the Word of God, in my case, broadcast the Word of God. Okay. The Word of God has an inherent power unto itself.
Yes.
You know, I put leaflets and booklets in people's hands all of the time, and I don't believe in bait and switch, so I make certain they know what it is I'm handing them. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage them to read, because that word has inherent power unto itself. Hallelujah. To speak to people, to bring people to faith, to fortify them. Clearly, the Word of God fortified your life.
Yes. Yes, it did. And he's still doing it.
I praise God. Now, Pastor, if I may, you came to saving faith in the Lord here in the States. Did you have any kind of Christian foundation back in Africa?
Yes, I did. It's a long story, my life. My parents were Muslims, and I converted 20 years here. And I gave my life to the Lord. But while I was in Liberia, my father put us in Catholic schools, me and my sister. I went to a Catholic school, you know, from first grade, pre-K, all the way to 10th grade. And I came to the United States and I completed from 10th to 12th grade. In all Catholic schools. So that laid a foundation of my faith, you know, and then into ministry, because I learned about Christ at a very early age. I learned the doctrine. It was Catholic doctrine, but I was introduced to that in my life, you know. And then we went to Mass as a young lady, as a young child. I used to wonder what was in that cup that the priest was drinking, the Eucharist. So I said, why can't I have that cup while sitting in the pews in the church? You know, and the Lord did it. When I look back, my desire to have the cup and to drink of that cup, he made it possible in my life now, you know, that I'm part of him. You know, because we all are part of the vine. We are the branches, and he is the vine. Because I desired that at a young age, I believe he answered my prayers.
And Pastor, forgive me, we're not able to see one another, so it can create a slight offstep betwixt us. I'm so sorry about that. You were, if I may, it sounds to me, and we'll pick up on the other side of the break, you had a wonderful preparatory period in Africa. And within 10 years of your arrival here in the States, the Word of God spoke so clearly to you, and you were drawn to Christ. That's a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk more in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Pastor Jeannie Dennis of the Rock of Jesus Christ Ministries of West Philly will return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Pastor Jeannie Dennis of the Rock of Jesus Christ Ministries, based in West Philadelphia, a lovely and devoted lady who comes originally from Liberia on the African continent. Pastor Jeannie, we're honored to have you. You've been sharing with us about your story of faith, how you came to Christ, but you're also a woman who has invested in the ministry of the gospel, and we would love to hear how you found your way or were led into this ministry that you've performed up to this day.
It's truly a pleasure to be on this platform. I bless the Lord for bringing us together, for me to share my story. It all started with a group of friends, first with my father, instilling us the Christian values, even though he was from another religious group. And by putting us in school and all of that, learning the Word of God at an early age. Then I came to America. I met some wonderful women that stood with me when I was going through such a hard time in my life, a turning point, I call that. And through their prayers and fasting, interceding on my behalf, I learned so much about God, the Word of God, and those things that were instilled in me made me to move forward to go into ministry. I also helped them while they were doing their ministry, you know, with youth group, Sunday schools, Christmas parties for the young children, you know, Easter. We did so much in the city of Philadelphia. And I truly believe that's what started everything in my life, because God was leading me to people that were grounded in His Word. And so He navigated me in that path. So I took a hold of it, you know, and I started to gear more towards what God was telling me to do and what He wanted me to do. And I had to pay attention, because I truly believe my life depended on it, that I couldn't deviate from what God was calling me to do. So that's how the ministry started, through my friends, through helping them, through doing what God called me to do. And also, I started the ministry on my own now through the help of the Holy Spirit, because you can't do it by yourself. And the Lord started to lead me, and He spoke to me in so many different ways, that I should pay attention to my neighborhood. Like right now, I'm working with a shelter not too far from my house. He showed me the location and everything, and I started to visit the shelters in various places in the city. You know, you have to pray to God to lead you. That's the only way you'll be able to get to where you are going. And you have to be obedient, because sometimes the flesh, our fleshly nature will come in. We have to pray against that, because it's very difficult to do God's will without prayer and without the leading of the Holy Spirit. It takes a lot of prayer and fasting, things of God, to be able to do God's will. So presently, I'm working in the shelter. I'm working in the city. I go everywhere. I minister to people in the street. I talk to them about the Word of God. I distribute materials. I do clothing, feeding, whatever the Lord leads me to. That's what I do. And I know that He called me to do His will, and I'm obedient to His word.
You know, I need to put you in touch with a very dear lady who has come on this broadcast with me twice, if not three times. She's a member of my congregation and a very, very dear friend. She has a ministry entitled No Hungry Bellies, and she ministers to the homeless in the city. Now, primarily she was operating out of North Philly, but she's looking, her circumstances have altered, and she's looking to be able to be supportive of other ministries with what she has. I'm going to put the two of you in touch with one another. I think she has some wonderful supplies that you could use for your work.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, we'll make that connection, Pastor Jeannie. But what impresses me is twofold, amongst other things, okay? But number one, you are acutely aware of your surroundings. You see the needs. You're not, I mean, you see beyond your own nose and you see the needs. On the other, you're acutely sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to his leading and direction, because sometimes we'll have a desire to do something, something that's even good or noble by nature, but it's not where we belong. You know, don't we read in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul himself endeavored to go into one particular area, and he was stopped by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't where he belonged. It wasn't where his labor was to be performed. So you're very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I will tell you of myself, I would not be in Conshohocken. I would never have come here. I would not be here 35 years later, but for the prompting, the very clear prompting of the Holy Spirit, that this is where I belonged. So let me ask you, Pastor, you're telling us what you do, but what are some of the challenges that you face in your work? I mean, you're in a tough section. The city of Philly, we just had a riot through the night. Philly's a tough city. What are some of the challenges that you face?
Well, the challenges that I usually face is that many are not obedient to the word of God. Many don't take the word of God seriously. That's kind of challenging. Like if you walk up to people, they're not really receptive of the word. But if you're not determined, you know, that can really make you to not want to do God's word. I mean, do his will, like to talk to people, interact with people, you know. So I need to pray more to be able to venture out more, you know, talk to the youth. I see the youth is gearing into another direction. So I need to pray more that the youth that I encounter, they will be more receptive of the word of God. Because we going through a lot of social media, a lot of things in the environment, in the schools, in the homes. You know, people are more in tune to the worldly things. They're not really in tune to the things of God. So how do you approach people when they're not really receptive of that? So prayer has to be the key, and fasting, that when you walk up to people, they'll be able to accept what God is saying instead of what you are saying. So those are kind of the challenges I'm going through. Even imagine the youth are not really paying attention to the things of God. Then how do you get to the elderly people? Because they are growing. They are going further and further away from God. My perspective, I could be wrong, but I think that's what.
No.
Yeah.
I think that you are correct. You know, what you say speaks directly to the word that we shared earlier on the broadcast. Now this is a word to fellow Christians, if we're to reach the youth, if we're to minister to many of the elderly who are so frightened and lonely. But the scripture said, if you have been raised with Christ, set your minds and your hearts on the things above. That's what prayer and meditation upon the word and, yes, fasting have to offer. They help secure us. They help fasten our minds and hearts upon God and where he is. If we're going to bring people out from under the rubble of their fallenness, if they're to be elevated above that fray, they can only be so elevated. You and I will be the conduits, but we have to be fit receptacles, don't we?
Yes.
Tell me, when you're out on the street, give us an example, Pastor, if you can, if it doesn't violate some kind of confidentiality, of course. But give us an example, a positive example of someone you've met, and it was very clear that there was engagement. And if you could, someone on the street, perhaps, that would be of interest, that would help our people to understand.
Yeah, I remember one time I walked up to a young lady. I just felt the need, the Spirit of God leading me to her. I said, oh, I would like to pray for you. the Lord is leading me towards you. And she said that she did not want to pray and she did not need anything, you know. And I respected that. She was being honest, and I walk away. And there are some people that I walk up to, I introduce myself, I tell them who I am. And I say, can I pray for you? They say, oh, sure, you can pray for me. And I pray for them, and they are excited. You know, some take my number, some call. You know, there are people out there that want to know the Lord. And I'm encouraging men and women of God, pastors, evangelists, all people that believe that they serve Jesus and they know that he is Lord. They should leave the pulpit sometimes, go into the streets, and engage the people. They want to know the word of God. They want to be a part of a church. But we cannot do it if we just in a church setting. We have to go out and preach the word of God. Let the people see our faces. Let them know there are young, old men, women preaching the word.
Yes. You know, Pastor, I always tell my people as service is ending, I build it into my benediction. I build it into my messages. Mm-hmm. As we take our leave of this place, mm-hmm. we have been fed. Now it's time that, given mm-hmm. that we've been prepared to be his ambassadors mm-hmm. at large beyond the walls of the building. But, Pastor, we must take a break. Brad Lacey and Pastor Jeannie Dennis of the Rock of Jesus Christ Ministries, we return for one final round of the great message in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Pastor Jeannie Dennis of the Rock of Jesus Christ Ministries, based out of West Philadelphia, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pastor Jeannie, you've been talking about our need to be out beyond the walls of the church. Now, that was my language, but your premise and point. I'll tell you a story of my own. Last week, I guess it was Friday night, I was in the city with a lovely friend. We were having dinner and chatting with the waitress, and it became very evident that she wasn't well and that she was deeply troubled. So we encouraged her to share with us. We identified ourselves as Christians. I identified myself as a pastor. We had established the rapport already, and she began to share her heart with us. And she's struggling with some things that relate to her health and to her family. And we had opportunity to take her hand pray with her. And that she was so deeply touched by that. And then I had of course, she's at work, so we have only so much time. We have to be very succinct. I was able to put the Word of God in her hands, courtesy of the Bible Society. She was deeply touched. I gave her my number to let me know, so that I could let us know what her status was. And we wanted her to know that she was loved by us and loved by Christ. And that meant the world to her. And I know for a fact that amongst waiters and waitresses, most of them tell me not many of the patrons of their dining establishments are necessarily very friendly towards them. They see them as utilitarian to their dining purpose. You clearly are a woman who sees people for who they are and what they need, and you bring to them the love of Christ. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Now, tell me and tell us, it is the love of Christ that motivates you, but I'm sure you wake up some mornings and you really don't feel like doing this. What do you do then?
I always try to pray and think about something positive when I'm going through those moments. And I go back to when I was down and I started to pray and the Lord just started to lift up whatever it is, those heaviness. And recently I started to tell the Lord, Lord, remove the garment of heaviness and I want to put on that garment of praise, you know, and I can just see the lifting of those heaviness coming off, you know, those whatever it is. So we have to really pray for strength. Whatever it is, keep praying and pressing through. And the Lord is going to lead you forward. That's my belief.
Yes, indeed. And you know, Pastor, you spoke of prayer and you spoke of praise. And I want to give you two, one anecdote and one quote. We had a lovely lady in our church many years ago. She was Romanian. And she told us that she suffered from depression, but we couldn't understand. None of us could identify what the problem was. Mm-hmm. She said she had a problem. She seemed fine to us. But at any rate, not doubting her. But she suffered from depression easily. So she asked me for a hymn book, and I provided her with a hymn book. And she came back to me a few weeks later, and she says, "Pastor Bradley, whenever I get depressed, I open the hymn book and I begin to sing praise songs, and the depression leaves me." That's the anecdote. The quote, are you conversant with the name of a Chinese evangelist and church planter by the name of Watchman Nee? Would that name resonate?
I think so, yes.
Okay, yes. I'm sure you've come across him.
Yes.
And he made a fascinating statement, and in recent years I've come into an experience of it. Sometimes, and I'm sure you'll agree, we're just being honest, sometimes you feel as if your prayers aren't being answered or they're not working, to put it in more utilitarian fashion. Watchman Nee said that if you don't think your prayers are making any difference, why not try praising? Why not praise God? Instead of beseeching him for what you need or want, praise him. Hallelujah. And the difference that is struck when you have a spirit of praise. In the Old Testament, I'm sure you'll recall, when the Israelites were called into battle, in one instance, they sent the praise warriors into the field of battle ahead of the soldiers, and the soldiers never had any reason to fight because the praises of God to God broke the back of the enemy. So that you're giving glory to God by way of your praise, that's a precious thing, both to God, but also to you and the rest of us. You pray to him and you praise him. You do something else, and I'd like to have you respond. You're also surrendering your life to him. When you go out on that street, it's a life of surrender. Tell us what that means for you.
Well, when I go out there, I feel a lot of joy because I get to meet so many different people. I get to hear their stories, and I get to get a word of encouragement, because many of those people, they feel that the society has forgotten about them. You know, like they don't mean anything, or they don't matter because of the status quo.
Yeah.
You know, so if I go out there, just a hello, how are you? How you doing? It brings light to their faces. You know, one time I was walking down the street, this lady came and gave me a big hug, not too far from where I live. You know, she would say, "Oh, my friend." That's how she calls me. But she couldn't remember my name, but she gave me a big hug. She remembered me.
Yes.
She didn't remember my name, but she knew my face. So I was so happy, you know, that she did that. And then I was going to see her the following day or so. So it brings a lot of joy that we go out there and we just interact. You know, an act of kindness can break away depression, suicide, and all those evil spirits because of love. That's what Christ meant.
Yes.
To show love to one another.
Yes. The love of Christ. Yes. The love of Christ is the motivating factor. Two quick stories in response, one relating to a fellow believer, one relating to a man on the street. When I was in London last fall over in the UK, there was a beautiful lady. She was African, and she was preaching on the south bank along the Thames River, right by the bridge, the Westminster Bridge you would cross to go back to the Houses of Parliament. And I began to speak with her. I wanted to encourage her. I was enamored of what she was doing. And she let me pray with her. And what a privilege that was, to encourage a servant of the gospel who was seeking to make the gospel known to the increasingly secular English. The second story, my brother was in London studying many years ago, and he went to give a pound, not a dollar, but a pound, that's their currency, of course, to a man on the street. And he said, "No, son, I don't want your money. You've given me what I want." He says, "You gave me the respect of acknowledging me. That's what I wanted from you." And that's what Jesus did, didn't he, in his walk. Pastor, in 20 seconds or less, A last word to our audience. What do you want them to know?
To know God is to read His word, is to be obedient, and don't deter from what God is calling you to do. You have to walk with faith and not by sight.
Pastor Jeannie Dennis of the Rock of Jesus Christ Ministries, you have been a blessing to this broadcast and to our audience, as you are to me. I'm so grateful that you would join us. On behalf of Pastor Jeannie, this is Brad Lacey of The Great Message. We bid you all a good day. God bless you.